Hi, it's JP Mack, and welcome to Liberty Relearn, not just another conservative blog. Hi, it's JP Mack, and welcome again to the show. For those of you who follow the Dystopic Journal, first of all, thank you. Second of all, I want to reiterate what I said last week with regards to the mass formation and what is occurring right now in China with regards to their so-called white paper protests. Now, if you may have heard or you may recall from me saying that the Chinese launched a protest last week or maybe a couple weeks ago now, revolving around their treatment and their harsh anti-COVID, their COVID zero measures in that country. Where in one case, an entire apartment building was welded shut. There was a fire in that building. Of course, the people couldn't get out, and so at least 10 people burned to death because the government, in its wisdom, welded the building shut, supposedly for their own protection. And so I spoke about that at length, particularly in the Dystopic Journal. So if you haven't seen that, please go back, watch it. It's on Rumble. And I go into greater detail. But because when I did that episode, you know, when you do an episode, you know, you have to do kind of synopsis for Rumble or whatever platform you're putting it out on. And in doing this synopsis, it helped me crystallize my thoughts on the matter, which I think in some cases may speak better than actually communicated in that episode. And so, again, this is an important idea that I want to reiterate with you, because it goes to the heart of everything we're talking about here on Liberty Relearn. That is preserving, appreciating our liberty. And so sometimes it coincides a lot with what I do on the Dystopic Journal part of the show or the Dystopic Journal podcast. And so here's my summary from last week, which I think actually expresses better, maybe, or in a different way, nice, clear, concise way, what I was trying to say last week. And so without any further ado, I'm going to read my synopsis. We further our discussion about the psychology of totalitarianism by Matthias Desmet. In his book, Desmet talks about how in a totalitarian society, religion is replaced by science, and how experts and technocrats become the new priesthood. People caught up in the totalitarian mass formation eagerly subordinate their free will to that of the expert class. On this, he writes, totalitarianism is the belief that human intellect can be the guiding principles in life and society. It aims to create a utopian artificial society led by technocrats or experts who, based on their technical knowledge, will ensure that the machine of society runs flawlessly. In this view, the individual is completely subordinated to the collective, reduced to being a cog in the machine of society. See, for example, Bertrand Russell in The Impact of Science on Society. The ideal of a technocratic society was inherent to the Enlightenment tradition, especially in its positivist branch. Positivist thinkers like Henri de Saint-Simon and Auguste Comte expressed their fanatical belief in humanistic technocratic society in which scientists and technocrats would take the place of the popes and priests. Not God, but human reason should be glorified. This is the way to a utopian society without war or conflict, a realm of freedom. Even while people take to the streets in China to protest their government's draconian zero COVID measures, people in the West celebrate and welcome never-ending COVID measures restricting personal freedom. In the East, the Chinese, conditioned from birth to follow authority, shout for President Xi Jinping's resignation. In the West, Dr. Fauci enjoys notoriety as he retires from public life, having led many to give up their fundamental freedoms. In one place, the sway of mass formation has reached its limit. In another, those caught up in the mass formation still cling to it. Many of those same people on the left caught up in the mass formation based on COVID-19 fears is simultaneously caught up in another centered around climate change alarmism. Not just people, but entire countries have subordinated themselves to the gods of climate change. The twin masters of climate change and COVID alarmism have hurled countries headlong into self-destructive behavior. National leaders have subjugated themselves and their citizens to the real possibility of freezing and hunger, largely based on the say of experts and technocrats who've convinced them to self-immolate their nation's farming and energy sectors. Totalitarian systems call on their members to defer reason and judgment in crucial areas to an expert class. Those swept up in the mass formation are convinced to place their faith not in God or religion, but experts and science. Just like with religion, this new machine messiah demands sacrifice and subordination of will to itself. And so it is worth noting that the Chinese Communist Party has acquiesced to some of the demands of the citizens, and they have lessened somewhat the restrictions upon the people there. And yet the people are still protesting in the streets. And so this is highly unusual for them, because even in the incident at Tiananmen Square, which happened a decade or so ago, where there was a huge protest against the Chinese Communist Party, that was localized into that area, and people in other parts of the country never even heard about the Tiananmen Square massacre or protest until much, much later. But this is different. This has been, this has caught on in other parts of China, obviously, mainly because they're facing the same draconian measures as the people of Shanghai. And so you have this situation where the people, at least momentarily, seem to have broken free of their mass formation. They've broken free of their programming and are out in the streets protesting. And so that's kind of unusual for them. As I said, they are basically conditioned from birth to respond to authority. And some anecdotal accounts, of course, that even the police in this case are say they sympathized with the protesters. Obviously, that you know, some people, you know, some protesters are obviously being harassed, according to some reports in coming from China by the police, but others, in other cases, the police seem to be on the side of the protesters, at least in spirit. And so we'll see where this goes. It's interesting also to note that Apple was asked by the Chinese Communist Party to not allow their satellite web-based services, to not allow them to carry the signal, for them to have Wi-Fi access. And so, of course, the Apple company, being good little boys and girls, did just what their masters in the Chinese Communist Party told them to do. And they cut the access that the protesters were using, this uplink access or downlink access to the Wi-Fi, to the internet that they're using to coordinate their efforts. Obviously, this is a problem for the ruling party of Japan, and so they're doing everything to shut the protests down. And Apple seems all too happy to help them with this. And so that's another angle to this story that we're kind of following now. But as I mentioned in this podcast and also in the Dystopic Journal, we've talked a lot about the psychology of totalitarianism by Matthias Desmet. That's a book which tries to describe how these mass formations, as he calls them, you might call them mass hysteria or mass formation psychosis, but mass formation, how people get swept up into these movements like the Nazi Party or the fascist movement or the communist movement, how people in the West get caught up in the COVID-19 hysteria. And so Desmet takes a look at this in his book, and he comes up with an explanation. And at the heart of his argument is that, beginning with the Enlightenment age in the 1700s, maybe 1600s even, the science started to catch up with the philosophy, and it overtook the religious philosophy of the day, which was Judeo-Christian philosophy, of course, in the West. And so it began to overtake that as the driving force behind intellectual thought. And so now, as he mentioned here in this quote I just did, where he talks about science replaces the popes and the priests of the religious orders. And now people follow science to the degree that they used to follow religion. And that, of course, it's reinforced also with the climate change alarmism. It's been stated many times that leftism is a cult, and particularly with regards to climate change alarmism, this cult has their own hierarchy of priests and prophets and heretics, and they're all of the things, all of the trappings of a conventional religion can be found within regards to like the climate change alarmism or COVID alarmism or leftism in general. Okay, they have their priests, they have their prophets like Greta Thunberg, like our some of our politicians, and they have their dogma. They have their very specific dogma. And if you go against their dogma, what we would call the narrative, usually, if you go against the dogma, then that is tantamount to heresy in the religious context. And so the left will have none of this. And so Desmet is very keen in observing the relationship or the parallels between a traditional religion and a mass formation. In this case, we're talking mainly about the mass formation centered around COVID-19 and other leftist ideologies that are, the general leftist ideology is caught up in several different synergistic mass formations. And of course, they all center around, they're all driven by fear, as Desmond puts it. The mass formations gain their power when the populace have this generalized feeling that something is wrong, this generalized sense of anxiety, and something comes along where they can focus their fears. And now these same people who once had this generalized sort of anxiety are able to refocus. They're giving something an enemy for them to focus their fears against, someone to blame, someone to, in some case, scapegoat. And I talked about before also how this parallels with, say, the dystopic fiction of Orwell when he, in 1984, in Oceania and Ingsoc, how they have their own narrative or centers around Big Brother. And in that case, Goldstein, Emmanuel Goldstein, is this enemy. Could be fictitious, could be actually a founder of Ingsoc. It's not made clear in 1984. But anyhow, in 1984, you have Ingsoc being used, or Goldstein being used as the scapegoat, someone to direct their anxieties toward. And that gives them psychological strength that helps them deal with their mass formation or their free-floating anxiety. Now they have someplace to center it on, to direct it for, and they feel like they have control now that they can give their problem a name. And in the case of the real world, they've given their problem several names, climate change or COVID-19 or MAGA Republicans. All of these things help people, particularly on the left, focus their fears, give them something that they can direct their fears against and feel like they can fight against, give them an enemy that they feel like they can fight against. And that's why you have the such severe bigotry among a lot on the left, particularly on the extremes of the left, where you have, again, this religious fervor that the left holds for their ideas. And anybody who doesn't follow the narrative, who goes against the narrative in any way, is shunned. They are, in fact, canceled. And that's the whole idea behind cancel culture, is to eliminate any of these enemies, these people, these scapegoats. You may remember not too long ago when the COVID vaccine was first coming out after it had been out a couple months, and it was said that COVID was now a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Now this turns to out to be turned on its head, as at least in this country, most of the people now who've died from COVID have been vaccinated. Now that may be, of course, statistically, just a factor of the fact that so many people have been vaccinated, the majority of people have been vaccinated. So of course, if you could die from COVID, you're likely to have been vaccinated anyhow. So that's how the statistics work in that case. But nonetheless, you had this idea back then that it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And now anti-vaxxers and the unvaccinated were made the enemy, were made the scapegoat. And so these people were given some place and someone against whom they could direct their fears. And so psychologically, this gives them a psychological outlet on how to deal with their fears. That's why some people would call it a mass formation psychosis. And so that is the basic summary of what Desmet has been talking about. Again, if you want to hear more of it, you can listen to past episodes of particularly this Dystopic Journal, but also of this show of Liberty Relearn podcast. And so we talk a lot about that because if you want to know how to defeat leftism, which is a very dangerous, and it's in its extreme, a very dangerous ideology. It's on par with communism or fascism. In fact, it's basically, you know, almost indistinguishable in some ways from fascism and communism. It's just, you know, it's a kind of different enemy, slightly different ideology, but basically it's the same people, for, you know, acting out of fear. They're given a target to aim their fear at and their hatred at. And so in the case of fascism and Nazism, it was like the Jews or the Slavs or the capitalists. Now it's the anti-vaxxers. And so these now in our 20th century version, you might call eco-fascism, you know, it's the climate deniers or the election deniers or the anti-vaxxers, you know, whatever it is. The mass formation gained its power from people being able to psychologically deal with their fears by giving their fears a name and personifying their fears, and like I said, anti-vaxxers. But it's no different than what happened in the last century with certain other peoples. And so now we're going to change topics a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about the deep state. In particular, how they affected the 2020 elections. And in particular, what Twitter did with regards to burying the Hunter Biden laptop story. And so here, first of all, the deep state is real and puts its thumbs on the scales for the left, or in this case, the Democrats. And they did so in the 2020 election. And we're finding out through Elon Musk releasing all this information from Twitter and from other sources, just how they did that. And how the Twitter colluded with the FBI. And I believe that that the FBI colluded with the various platforms such as Twitter and Facebook to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop theory. I think that it was deliberate. They found out about the laptop back in 2019. It was first reported from the computer store in Delaware, reported to the FBI back in 2019. So what seems to happen as more and more information is gathered is that the FBI knew that the Hunter Biden laptop story was about to break. And it was about to break as what they call an October surprise. So the October surprise is something in an election year. You know, elections are in November, or at least they used to be before there was an election month. So you would have this October surprise where you would spring it on your opponent and they would have very little time to react and do damage control in the press. And so that's the whole idea of the October surprise. The FBI caught wind, most likely, that the Hunter Biden laptop story was about to break. They knew about Hunter Biden's laptop. I'm sure they had investigated it, and I believe they believe that it was accurate at the time. And this is important because if they always knew or suspected that the Hunter Biden laptop was real and it's not some sort of Russian disinformation, why, in fact, did they tell outlets like Twitter that it was Russian disinformation? Why did they lead all these social media platforms to believe that this was some sort of Russian disinformation dump? And I believe that it was an intentional, on their part, way of putting their thumbs on the scales of the election. And of course, you can guess which side that they favored, particularly from the outcome. It's also worth noting that people after the election said that had they known about the Hunter Biden laptop story, they would have changed their votes. They probably would not have voted for Biden had they known that the Hunter Biden laptop story was true. And this is very important because apparently it could have been enough to sway the results of the election. And this would be attributable to election interference on behalf of our government, particularly in from the deep state. And so in the post-millennial, they had an article. It's entitled "Revealed Feds Met Regularly with Twitter Ahead of Hunter Biden Laptop Censorship." And so it goes on to explain that new information has emerged in the case of Twitter's censorship and suppression of the New York Post reporting on Hunter Biden's laptop in the lead up to the 2020 U.S. presidential election. In a disclosure to the FEC, it was revealed that Twitter had weekly meetings with federal law enforcement, and that it was during one of these meetings that Twitter was told to watch out for a Russian disinformation drop. Former head of Twitter Trust and Safety, Yoel Roth, submitted a disclosure to the FEC saying that the company had been warned by the FBI of a forthcoming Russian disinformation dump, and they assumed that the New York Post reporting was it. Federal law enforcement planted the seed in Twitter's collective mind, and Twitter used that intelligence to suppress the Post reports. Now remember, this happened in 2020. FBI knew about the laptop back in 2019. I'm sure that they had already strongly suspected, if not concluded, that it was genuine, yet they allowed the companies like Twitter to be deceived, okay? So basically, what seems to have happened is that the FBI duped Twitter into suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story for political purposes to sway the direction of the 2020 election. And if true, and I don't see any reason why not to believe this, and of course, this also coincides with a lot a email dump being done by Elon Musk about Twitter's interaction with the deep state, particularly the FBI at the time. And so everything is being confirmed, what we suspect about this deep state interference in the election. And so the article continues on. FBI had been aware of the laptop, having been contacted by the owner of the Delaware repair shop where the younger Biden had left his laptop in 2019. By the time the New York Post was on the verge of making their reporting on the contents of that laptop public, the FBI was aware of the laptop. Again, so what seems to have happened is the FBI found out about the laptop. They knew that the New York Post knew about it and was going to break the story, and they decided to get ahead of it and plant the seeds that the story was Russian disinformation with a Twitter, which of course already left-leaning, so they were predisposed already to believe anything that would help Biden or hurt Trump. In this case, it helped Biden, obviously. And so the article goes on to say, the repair shop owner, John Paul MacIsaac, said that he contacted the FBI about the laptop and that they met with him at the end of 2019. At that point, he allegedly told them what happened. The FBI came back with a warrant and seized the laptop and an external hard drive. Isaac, however, had already made a copy. And so there again, you have the FBI being aware of the laptop and being aware of its provenance and being, this was at the end of 2019. So we're talking about 10, 11 months later that the FBI is trying to plant the seeds and dupe companies like Twitter into thinking that the laptop is Russian disinformation. And of course, you had those 51 former intelligence officials backing up the story. And so whether active collusion or not, we don't know. Maybe we'll find out what the more of the tour dump as more comes out. But there's this definite feel that there is some sort of collusion within the deep state. And maybe the when it comes to those 51 former intelligence officials saying that this had all of the smells of Russian disinformation, they probably, they either intuited the needs of the mass formation, as we discussed in the earlier segment, or they were in collusion with the FBI, with the deep state. And so either they're in cahoots, but at the very least, they seem to have intuited the needs of what the mass formation wanted. The mass formation in this case being the left that wanted to re-elect or to elect Joe Biden. They maintain that President Trump was a clear and present danger to the country. More than likely, they were really afraid that President Trump was a clear and present danger to their hegemony in Washington, D.C., and their control of the narrative. And so, you know, President Trump, former President Trump now, talks a lot about draining the swamp. And this is what he's talking about, the people in the deep state with their own agenda. They think they know better than the elected officials. And they're going to do what they want to do, not what the officials that were elected by the people want them to do. Or, you know, they're going to listen to what they think is right and not what their commander-in-chief at the time is telling them. So they're following their own program. Wishes of the public or the citizenry or the commander-in-chief be damned. And so this is, in essence, what happens with the deep state every time. And so, yes, Virginia, there is a deep state, and this is what the deep state does, and this is why we're worried about it. This is also why, this is, well, one of the many reasons why a lot of us on the right, a lot of us conservatives and libertarians, would like to see the FBI broken up into little pieces. So we don't want to defund the police in this case, but we do, I think it would be a good idea to break off the intelligence gathering portion of the FBI from the law enforcement side, kind of as a way of balance of creating more of a balance of power, because everybody knows that from the days of J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI has been misused and abused on the whims of sometimes the presidents or sometimes on their own volition when they didn't agree with what the president has done. And so this only goes for to further prove the existence of the deep state and what they were up to and how, and this is something really very important. In this case, they may have affected the outcome of the 2020 election. So now they are subverting the will of the people. And of course, the Democrats, they want to cry democracy, democracy, democracy all the time. Meanwhile, they allow this happen. They give tacit approval, if not express approval, to this sort of thing, because the deep state knows that the Democrats are not going to be any sort of challenge to their power. The Democrats are not the ones talking about breaking up the FBI. It's the Republicans and the right that are trying that want to do that. And the, of course, being the deep state, they want to keep the power they have. They don't want to relinquish it. They don't want to have it diminished in any way. So they're going to protect their power that they've amassed over all of these decades since the FBI's inception. And continuing on with the article, see, and it says, skipping down a little bit, in 2021, the Washington Free Beacon reported that Roth said that the company's decision to block the reporting was based on rumors from U.S. intelligence officials. He said at the time that the censorship was justified because of that information that they received. A complaint was filed with the FEC over illegal campaign contributions made by Twitter to the Biden campaign in the form of censorship of this reporting that polls later revealed had an impact on voters' choices for the election. So, as I mentioned, people later said after the election, had they known about the Hunter Biden laptop story, they would have not voted for Biden. They may not have voted for Trump, but they said they wouldn't have voted for Biden. Probably that may have been enough. I think I heard like something like 6% of the respondents, which in the right states, if that 6% is in the right states, that's enough to change the outcome of election, right? You have part of that percentage that would change their vote, say in places like Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or Michigan, in some of the swing states, that could have easily changed the outcome of the election. And of course, there's entirely different matter of the 2,000 mules, which we're not going to get into now, but I think together with whatever else they were doing on the left, the Democrats, and inclusion in parallel to doing what the FBI was doing, we could have a different president right now, and that a lot of things would be different. For instance, Russia probably wouldn't have invaded Ukraine the way they did with a President Trump. And of course, we would probably be better off than we are today economically. We would have a stronger energy sector. We'd be stronger economically if there was a President Trump. We'll never know because, of course, Biden was elected. And but he may have been elected in large part due to interference by the deep state, as mentioned here. And that, of course, doesn't sound like democracy to me. If you're interfering with elections, that doesn't sound like democracy. Now, remember, the whole thing about Trump was that Russia interfered on his behalf in the 2016 elections. And of course, that we know that was all made up by the Clinton campaign or the DNC, aided and abetted by the FBI also in that case. And then you have 3 years of the Mueller investigation and Russiagate and all of that. All that was proved to be baloney. But again, that hampered what Trump did and what was he was able to accomplish during his term, his 4 year term, which still he accomplished a lot. So I don't know after when we're going to hear more, even more about what had happened occurred with Twitter as we hear more as more of the emails are released, and we're going to find out exactly how Twitter was influenced or allowed themselves to be influenced by the deep state. And of course, I would say that the Twitter prior to Elon Musk taking over, they were predisposed to help out the left and the left's candidates, such as Biden, any way they could. So they're already predisposed to help out Biden any way they could, anyhow. So when the deep state, when members of the FBI come to them and say, "Hey, we're expecting a misinformation dump from the Russians any time now," and then lo and behold, the story breaks. Well, the Twitter doesn't need to be told at that point what to do. Okay, they already know what they need to do, and so they were willing accomplices and all that. And I think everything that we're gonna find out through these emails in right now in the next few weeks, exactly what Twitter was doing and to the degree that the government was interfering with the civil rights of the people. And I say that because, the argument has always been, coming from the left, that, well, it's free speech. You don't have the right to free speech with Twitter because it's a private company. Well, the thing is that the government is not allowed to use a private company to do things that cannot do itself. So if the government doesn't want you to hear about Hunter Biden's laptop or any bad news about the president, they can't suppress free speech themselves. And they're not supposed to suborn Twitter or Facebook or anybody else to suppress free speech on their behalf, but that seems to be what has happened, is that the government, through intermediaries like Twitter in this case, suppress people's First Amendment rights. And of course, that's one of the main focuses of the First Amendment is freedom of the press, which obviously was suppressed and infringed upon. And if there can be a direct link, which I think there is now, I think this is a smoking gun, and it's only going to get worse, I think, for the deep state, how the deep state or the government through the deep state suborn cooperation and suppression of people's First Amendment rights through willing accomplices through Twitter. And again, the government is not allowed to cause other entities, such as private companies, to do things that it's not allowed to do itself. All right, that's still unconstitutional. That is still an example of the government infringing on your First Amendment rights. And so that's also another very important story. And so you have this story, and you have the story I mentioned earlier about the protests in China, and they both in their own ways speak to how what Desmet would call the mass formation, what some would call mass formation psychosis or mass hysteria, how people caught up in this, particularly in the leftist stream of this particular mass formation, how people get caught up into it and allow themselves to be convinced of things that they probably know are wrong or shouldn't do, in this case, infringing on people's First Amendment rights. I think anybody at Twitter knew that they shouldn't do that, but they wanted to do it anyhow, and they were given kind of like psychological permission to do so by the deep state to do the suppression of free speech that they probably wanted to do anyhow, to be frank. And then you had the story in China about how things get so bad, the authoritarian system makes things so bad that people actually start to break free of the mass formation, and they start to think for themselves and start to, again, consider themselves for their individual rights and their individual problems and situations, rather than being forced to subordinate themselves to the collective. And so you have these two examples of a totalitarian state in various stages, in the later stages in the case of China, and in the earlier stages in the case of the United States, with what the deep state is doing. And so that's something that we're going to continue to talk about, among other things, when it comes to the Liberty Relearn podcast. And so right now I'm going to leave it there. Pretty much said everything that we can on these two topics. And although they don't seem related directly, they all relate in the way that people are swept up in kind of hysteria, and they will do anything to preserve the status quo. And in the case of the Democrats, of course, it keeps them in power, keeps the people in the deep state in their positions so that they continue to have power. In other cases, the people who have almost supreme power in China, the Chinese Communist Party, they're seeing their party, their power start to crack. And it's also interesting, another way that these two stories relate to each other is with Apple. Apple agreed, as I mentioned before, with the Communist Party of China to control the people's access to the internet or to Wi-Fi via their services. And so I thought that was interesting. You have the people at Apple showing who their true allegiance is. And in this case, it's to China and the almighty dollar that China, the Chinese market brings, rather than their own country and their own interests. And this, of course, is just symptomatic of a great number of things that the left is trying, in some cases succeeding in accomplishing, in gaining and consolidating its power. And so thank you for listening and watching. And please, if you get a chance, I would encourage you to watch previous episodes of the Dystopic Journal, where I talk about the psychology of totalitarianism and mass formation as described by Matthias Desmet in his book. And so that's very important, because you have to understand why these things happening. If you want to try and fight leftism, you have to know what is causing people to subscribe and join up with the leftism, in this case, in the first place. And once you understand that, then you get an idea how to deal with it and how to counter it. And so I encourage you again to watch some of the previous episodes, specifically of the Dystopic Journal, but also of Liberty Relearned podcast. And also follow Liberty Relearned online, follow the Dystopic Journal and Liberty Relearned podcast on Rumble, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts. And so if you're watching this, please like and subscribe, or if you're listening to this, like and subscribe on whatever platform you listen to this on. And please, I encourage you to follow libertyrelearned.com online, follow Liberty Relearned on Facebook, and follow at LR Podcast on Getter, and meet JP Mac on Parler. And until next time, please stay healthy, happy, and free.